Now, we're joined on the record by Eunan O'Halpin, who is a professor of contemporary Irish history at Trinity College Dublin, and he was also a member of the advisory group on the centenary commemorations, which obviously has been in the headlines quite a bit this week because of some of the purported plans around commemorating members of the RIC and the Dublin Metropolitan Police. Eunan, thank you very much for coming in to join us. Before we talk about the ins and outs of the whole week and how things have been represented and perhaps what we can learn from this and where we go from here, first of all, what is your understanding of what exactly had been recommended by the expert advisory group on what should be held by way of commemoration for the RIC?
Well, I think the person to address the group, the advisory group's role, is actually Maurice Manning, the chairman, whom you heard from earlier in the week. Mm. My understanding was that we did believe, when asked, that there should be some appropriate recognition of the police forces and of those who died serving in the police forces, serving the communities. Can I point out, for example, the DMP were not a national force. They were, if you like, a British municipal police force, mostly unarmed.
More along the lines of the modern-day Garda Síochána, you mean?
No, more along the lines of a city police force. They weren't, in principle, even under national control. They were a municipal force, like an American city police force. They were mostly unarmed. The first two policemen killed in 1916 were shot dead unarmed police. So you have to be careful in terms of thinking of categories of policemen or so on, leaving aside whether you believe that any or all of them should be commemorated.
Were you prescriptive when you said, talking about particular appropriate events, were you prescriptive in what sort of event you might have in mind for the role of the RIC or the DMP?
No, we don't prescribe at all. We're almost a reactive group and talking in terms of general principles rather than saying that's the way to do it. Do it this way, do it that way, or anything like that. That's completely a misunderstanding, which I think Morris has addressed and cleared up.
Well, let's have a little listen to that. You might pull on your headphones, Eunan, if you'd like to listen to this. This is what Maurice Manning had to say when he was speaking to Shane Coleman on News Talk Breakfast about exactly what the group had recommended earlier this week.
We will be celebrating, or commemoration rather, the foundation of the Garda Síochána in a couple of years' time. And that might be a very appropriate time to look also at the policing which preceded the foundation of the Garda Síochána
I was listening to Diarmaid Farrell, one of the other historians on the expert advisory group that you're chairing. He says you were used as a mudguard by the government. Do you agree with that?
I don't agree with that at all. And I think that in all of this, the minister responsible, Charlie Flanagan, has behaved with great integrity. And I think that he probably, the execution of what was involved was got wrong. But there was no attempt. There was a statement in our report which said that consideration should be given to the holding of a commemoration ceremony for the RIC.
I'm sorry to cut across yours, because Diarmaid Farrell said yesterday the advisory group did not recommend a service for the RIC and the DMP be included in the list of commemorations. He said what we stated was consideration should be given to the organisation of specific initiatives to commemorate the RIC and the DMP and to acknowledge their place in history. He said what we had in mind was an academic event, a conference or a seminar. Is he splitting hairs there a little bit?
I think he's being a bit unfair there, because it isn't our job to be prescriptive to tell the state how it should run these things. Our job was to say, we listed a number of events, major events, where the state should have been involved and the state would be the main organising party. And we listed other events where we felt that the state could support initiatives of others. I think what was originally planned here was a very simple ceremony in Dublin Castle, in the yard, which is dedicated to the memory of the old DMP and so on, and it would be a very short ceremony. I think what happened when it was postponed is somebody lost the run of themselves and began to call it a state ceremony.
So that was Maurice Manning speaking on News Talk Breakfast to Shane Coleman earlier this week around exactly what the expert advisory group had in mind. Was anything there you quibble with, or would you assent with everything that Maurice Manning had said?
I would, but it's not so much what we had in mind, it's what we didn't have in mind that's the issue. And I think Maurice has put it, we made a very general statement. I don't think we can find our observations saying that simply an academic conference would be the only way. I actually was at a police commemoration some years ago in Mount Argus. There didn't see any trouble there. I must confess, or not confess, I acknowledge of my great-grandfather was in the RIC, so were his two brothers. His son, Hugh Hapney, my grandfather was a senior IRA man in County Down. He ended up as a Garda Sergeant. The idea that the RIC were somehow an alien force, I mentioned the DMP separately, is just nonsense. They were of very much the same stock as the IRA against whom they fought. In some ways, you could argue that the real civil war was fought in Ireland in 1920 and 21, more than in 22 and 23 between Irishmen. And you could argue the real civil war in international comparative terms wasn't fought in what's now the 26 counties at all. It was fought particularly in Belfast, where you had ethnic cleansing and you had explicitly ethnic violence on a large scale.
There's obviously then, and you neatly summarise them yourself when you talk about your own background, obviously people have a lot of competing or overlapping identities, and it's not simply as easy as portraying one group as being the good guys.
There's more people listening to this almost certainly who, if they look at it, will have had relations who were in the RIC or in the police, if you look at the numbers, than were active in the IRA. I was recently reading a document written, I think, in 1941 by Dan Breen, who was in the same brigade as my Maloney grandfather's, which was found in my great-grandfather's house in Tipperary, the 3rd Tipperary Brigade. But Dan Breen writes, he's talking to Liam Tobin, who's on the other side in the Civil War, and they agree, although I think they're understating it, that not more than between 500 and 1,000 men actually fought in the War of Independence for the IRA. Now, I think he's understating it, but you see the point. Whereas there's far more people who perhaps they don't even know it, who are descendants of RIC men. And though most of those RIC men, the RIC, there's no question, committed some terrible deeds, particularly in terms of, if you like, night killings, the killing of Terence McSweeney. Right. Not Terence McSweeney, Thomas McCurtain is an obvious example in Tipperary as well. In March 1920, there were murder gangs. That's very early in the game. That's before the Black and Tans or the Auxiliaries even showed up in Ireland in practical terms. But on the other hand, you could argue they had taken an oath. Most of them were Catholic. Most of them were implicitly nationalist, probably Redmondite. And they some of them felt obliged to honour their oath. Particularly an oath in those days was a solemn thing. They were popular in large parts of the country. It's argued that they were unpopular in terms of the 1880s and so on. But there's plenty of evidence that the RIC were a widely respected force, which is why people like my great-grandfather and his brothers in the 1890s joined.
Well, this gets to the nub of one of the things that I wanted to put to you, because obviously we are approaching the centenary of a lot of things that led to the foundation of the state as we know it. And it's obviously through that lens that we view a lot of things like this, but is it perhaps unfair that when we think about the RIC and we look at it through the lens of it being the centenary, and we look at all the things that happened around the time in the aftermath of the Rising, things which might be unsavoury, which a lot of people might not be proud of, but that it sort of clouds our judgment of what the RIC was as a police force, perhaps, you know, maybe not necessarily of civilian or playing as cleanly as we might like, but it was just simply the 32 county police force on the island, which it was for decades, and that is overlooked then because of what happened at the end of the 1910s.
I think you have to realise it wasn't national. The big structural problem was that it wasn't responsible for Dublin City. Okay. That's, if you ask me, is why you got a rebellion.
Okay, but excluding that though, do you think that the RIC ended up becoming engaged in at the end of the 1910s clouds our judgment of it in history?
Well, yeah, they became an object of attack rather than what they simply did themselves. But of course it does. If the RIC were effectively an arm of central government, in terms not simply of administration of the law, but things like weights and measures, things like the agricultural census, which they did when there was a potato blight or whatever, the sprays and things were dispensed through the local police station. In the First World War, the sugar ration was dispensed through the RIC. They had an enormous contact with the public. The idea that they were sort of hidden away in barracks and had no contact at all, they were of the people.
They were quite community oriented.
Well, absolutely, and that was part of the genius, I would say, of Irish policing in the 19th, and to some extent even up to today, as compared with Britain, say, is that it's still the business of a guard around here to know, particularly in rural Ireland, to know who's who, to understand the people rather than simply to look at crime stats or to hold up a speed gun. There's a sense of cultural awareness in Irish policing, which I would say there isn't, for example, in Britain. And don't talk about America, the scariest place in the world to be for in terms of dealing with the police.
You mentioned previous commemorations in Mount Argus, and indeed it's noted in the Sunday Times today that Brian Cowan and the previous government of 2010 held a commemoration for all fallen members of Irish police forces, including the Gardaí and the DNP and the RIC, back in 2010. And at that point, barely an eyebrow was raised. Nobody thought that this was a commemoration or a celebration of Imperial forces in Ireland. But the way in which, whether rightly or wrongly, the proposed event for January the 17th was taken up, do you think it is now possible at some point in the near to medium term future to have a sensitive event that looks at the role of the RIC and the DNP that doesn't become a political football?
Well, perhaps not, but I think that the state should at some point acknowledge the policemen of the two main forces. There were a couple of harbour policemen from Belfast killed as well. In terms of the deaths and the impact of those deaths on their families, this is perfectly reasonable. We're going to be commemorating the IRA, top right, left and centre. The IRA did some terrible things. My grandparents were very much involved, but they did some terrible things as well as we would say some heroic things. There's still, I think, about 98 bodies missing. That's to say people whom were killed by the IRA, whose remains have never been found, right? For example, my own great-uncle Paddy Maloney was killed by the RIC / Black and Tans in a fair fight outside Tipperary town. But the backstory there is that there was supposedly an informer. And, you know, that taint still hangs over a family in Tip Town, fairly or not. And that's just to illustrate, on the one hand, the power of memory. But on the other, we are four generations on. And if we can't look at our history, and particularly in relation, for example, to Northern Ireland, in Northern Ireland, the RIC will have been seen by the majority population as their defenders, not as their oppressors. And I think we can step back from making moral judgments and recognise, as we will do for the Civil War, that whatever we may say of the political rights and wrongs ultimately of the conflicts, that lots of people involved in it who suffered and so on, it is quite appropriate that they be remembered, even if they aren't lionized and turned into sort of plaster heroes.
On the note of Northern Ireland, Leo Varadkar said in the aftermath of all of this that he believed a united Ireland was now slightly further away, and it was a sentiment shared by a lot of unionists north of the border too, that they felt that if the Irish state, the southern state, could not fairly and neutrally commemorate the deaths and lives of these people and the service that they gave in one course or another, that it would be very difficult to reconcile those traditions under a single unitary state. What do you think of that? Do you agree?
I think it's a fair point. I think we were caught unawares as observers because 2016 had gone so well, because there hadn't been. But then in 1966, if you look at the history of 1966, it went very well as well. The RUC report that the Easter 1966 in Belfast was quieter than usual. Right, there appeared to be the British were saying, "Oh, good, the Irish are moving away from this narrow fixation with political violence and so on." Mm. And look what happened afterwards. So it is depressing. It is ironic if you look at, for example, Sinn Féin have been very vocal on this. Sinn Féin have also, Mary Lou's a great protector of the statue of Sean Russell, which, apart from the fact that it's illegally erected, is commemorating a man who explicitly pursued a link with the Nazis, with Nazi Germany, and Sinn Féin have no difficulty whatsoever in pointing out his virtues and in fact, continuously fixing his statue.
Do you see a certain hypocrisy then in the idea that a 32-county state would feel compelled to honour all the various traditions on the island, but that while it exists, a partitioned 26-county state doesn't appear to have much tolerance for it?
Well, I'm not sure who does or who doesn't. I'm an old-timer, so I'm not on Twitter. I'm not on. I have a Facebook page, I think, but I don't use it. So I'm hopeless. I don't understand.
It's good not to be sure whether you have a Facebook page, isn't it?
Well, I suppose it is. But the underlying point is, I think a lot of the time these kind of controversies, which blow up very suddenly and generate a lot of heat, underneath them there isn't necessarily as much a sort of a body of opinion. I suspect that most people would have no objection to a function which commemorates the fall of the police services of this island, just as we will be commemorating the fallen of both sides in the Civil War.
Well, we'll see exactly what the government might have in mind when it does get around to rearranging some of those events. But for now, Eunan, thank you very much for joining us in studio this lunchtime. Eunan O'Halpin, who's a professor of contemporary Irish history at Trinity College Dublin and part of the advisory group on the centenary commemorations. Eunan, thank you very much.